everybody. I'm Jonathan G. Blanco. This is the TF Podcast. Welcome to another episode where we talk about technology, finance, and business. And my guest today is Brooke. He is the founder of Hut Capital. We're going to be talking about fund-to-funds as well as venture investing and just kind of that whole process there. So with that, Brooke, I'd love if you could introduce yourself to everybody.
Yeah, of course. And thanks so much for having me, Jonathan. Appreciate it. Yes, as you mentioned, my name's Brooke Pollock. I'm the managing partner of Hut Capital, based in Portland, Oregon. And, you know, my background, I started the firm in 2018, and prior I spent 10 years in the institutional private markets space, across funds, secondary, and direct investing. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get more into it, but, you know, got very deep into the world of blockchain and crypto, and, you know, went full-time with Hut Capital in that space back in 2018. And, you know, Hut Capital, we're a blockchain venture fund-to-funds and direct investment firm. So we do a mix of both fund-to-funds as well as direct equity investments in this space. And yeah, we can go more into that, but that's the brief.
I'd love to. Before we get into that part, though, I'd love to kind of, dive more back into your background, just kind of how you got into the venture space overall and what made that interesting for you.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, I guess, you know, I've not always been a technology forward or kind of interested person, but, you know, started my career working for a family office consultant. You know, we were a broad consulting firm for wealthy families on the investment side, but I worked in the private markets team. So we advised these families on investing in private funds as an LP. So is it everything from, you know, buyout, venture, growth equity, credit, energy, distressed debt, you know, a lot of different things. And, you know, really enjoyed that, really enjoyed the venture piece of it as well. And, you know, after that, spent a couple years working for a firm called Hamilton Lane, which is a private equity advisor and asset management firm, now a public company, but, you know, it was a similar model in terms of the advisory piece of it, but more for big pensions and sovereign wealth funds and large pools of capital of that nature. And we also have a lot of discretionary capital and funds, and I worked on the secondary team. So we managed a fund that bought limited partnership interests in private funds, you know, primarily buyout and venture capital. So we would, you know, evaluate those portfolios and, you know, buy out existing limited partners in those funds. It helped GPs to restructure their funds and kind of some other interesting structures. But I moved out to Philadelphia for that and then had the good fortune thereafter to join a venture capital platform called Greenspring Associates. And this was mid-2014, you know, I kind of moved into venture full-time. And, you know, they're a large venture platform, you know, fund-to-fund, secondaries, directs, all within venture. You know, in particular, helped to build out their secondary platform, which just got started when I joined. You know, again, I had been doing secondaries at Hamilton Lane, but more broadly worked across the platform. So we were investing in, you know, venture funds. We were doing venture secondaries, so both buying out LPs and venture funds, as well as buying stock from founders, management, early employees, that type of thing. And also just doing traditional growth stage direct venture investing. And, you know, did all the above during my time there, but, you know, had a long interest in the world of blockchain. Yeah, really just kind of going back to a couple of folks I went to school with who were early in the space and, you know, doing very well for themselves and caught my attention. So, you know, the problem was it really wasn't relevant for my day job for quite a while, you know, in terms of what we were investing in. And then in 2017, started seeing a lot of these dedicated blockchain venture funds emerge. And, you know, at that point, finally had an excuse to dig into the space where it was relevant for what I was doing for a living. And, you know, went out there, got to know the venture funds in the space, built those relationships, spent much more time on education and learning and, you know, building my network more broadly. And, you know, that led to spearheading Greenspring's efforts in the space for the last year I was there. And, yeah, long story short, you know, left in 2018 to pursue that piece of my work full time by starting Hut Capital.
Yeah, awesome. Well, before we get to the blockchain side of the investing, let's all set the conversation for some people that might be listening that may not be familiar with, like, what a fund of funds even is. Mm-hmm. So if you could kind of just lay that out for folks, that I think that might be helpful.
Yeah, of course. So a fund of funds, I guess as its name suggests, is a fund that invests in other funds. So typically, you know, you can use venture capital as an example. If you invest in a venture capital fund, they're going to go and allocate to some number of startups and build a portfolio of startups. So a fund of funds does the same thing, except instead of investing in startups, you're investing in venture capital funds, which then invest startups. So a fund of funds might invest in a portfolio of 10 or 20 or 30 or some number of underlying funds and build a diversified portfolio within that part of the market where people can come in and get exposure to, you know, a larger number of funds through one investment. So, you know, for Hut Capital, for example, we do on the blockchain venture side, we invest in, you know, in our case, 10 to 12 blockchain focused venture funds and provide diversified exposure through one commitment. And, you know, this is kind of a long proven strategy. It's been around for a long time, kind of the whole fund to funds model. And, you know, it tends to have more success in more niche areas where the expertise and the relationships and the access are more important versus something like large buyouts, for example, where, you know, they'll kind of raise as much as they can and, you know, access and relationships really are not important.
Got it. And so can you touch on just kind of like that relationship on the fund of funds? Meaning, so if you're investing in the fund, sorry, if you're investing in a VC, you're essentially an LP to that fund. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's a weird position because we're both an LP and a GP, right? We manage a fund. We're a GP of a fund, but we're also an LP in underlying funds. We kind of sit on both sides of the table at the same time. Yeah, definitely accurate.
Got it. And then so when as an LP in that fund, are you just like any other LP in that fund, or are there any sort of special interest that a fund of funds would get versus a traditional LP?
I guess
LP, but just like, you know, if it was an individual or so forth.
Yeah, I mean, inherently there's no benefit, you know, from just being a fund of funds of that nature. You know, that said, you know, we are a dedicated firm in this space. So we're certainly valued by the underlying funds, kind of being a consistent, dedicated firm in this space. You know, we'll also look for situations where we can leverage our position and, you know, our being a desired LP to try to get special economics or whatever it might be in terms of special terms and whatnot for, you know, to benefit our own LPs from that perspective. I think the key thing that differentiates us and, you know, certain other folks of our ilk is just building like real relationships with the underlying funds and, you know, really getting to know them very well individually and personally and, you know, really building that close relationship, right? Because, you know, this is a very long-term partnership. We don't want to just collect quarterly reports and see what our returns are. And, you know, if we're going to grow our allocations in these funds, get access to the best funds, you know, have these funds help us to access direct deal flow and kind of have like a mutually beneficial partnership, you know, we need to get to know these folks and look for ways that we can provide value to them as well, you know, outside of purely being, you know, capital, you know, from being LPs in their funds. So, you know, we're always looking for ways to help interlink funds, whether it's, you know, deal flow, fundraising, you know, the perspective of an institutional LP, join the advisory boards, all that type of stuff, and, you know, really building close long-term relationships. And you are definitely seeing more of that these days, but there are still, you know, a pretty good portion of the LP universe that is, you know, very passive in that capacity.
Yeah. And so, you know, for you personally, when you think about, you know, so you have this fund of funds, like what is interesting to you in a fund of funds model versus just becoming a VC? Why not just look for your own deal flow or where is that kind of, how does that play a factor?
Yeah, so I guess a couple things. One, in terms of my, you know, my own background and expertise, and then kind of two, you know, from like a risk return perspective in terms of, you know, the attractiveness of the model itself. You know, my background, I've spent 10 years, you know, investing in funds, doing secondaries, you know, also doing venture investing, but not early stage investing, right? My background is more, you know, growth stage investing on the direct side of that. And doing that, but, you know, I wanted to do something where, you know, me and Hut Capital could really stand out as a, you know, unique model, unique background, unique experience, and, you know, really offer something that was not otherwise available. And kind of, you know, we're tracking 65 early stage blockchain VC funds right now. So, you know, do they really need fund number 66? I mean, maybe or maybe not, but it's, you know, it's much more difficult to differentiate yourself and provide something that's not already available. You know, with the fund of funds model, you know, there are very few firms that look like us. You know, we provide a very unique offering and a very unique partnership to LPs in this space. And, you know, inherently, you know, in terms of the fund of funds model, you know, by diversifying across a number of funds, you know, I believe it provides a very attractive risk return dynamic. And, you know, almost all the funds in this space are emerging managers, right? I mean, blockchain has not been around for that long. You know, the oldest funds in the space are maybe 6 years old, and most of them haven't been around for more than 2 or 3 years. So, yeah, you know, they don't have the same breadth of track record like you see in the traditional world. So there's a lot of selection risk where it's like, okay, I'm going to choose this one fund, and okay, like you pick the right. A lot of selection risk around choosing that one fund. So, you know, by doing a fund of funds model, we can basically provide, you know, broad exposure through one commitment across structures, across geographies, and, you know, certainly in this space, the global nature, you know, our global exposure is very important across different, you know, subsectors within the market, kind of, you know, folks who are doing, you know, far off kind of futuristic crypto stuff and, you know, much more practical blockchain stuff, and, you know, kind of be, you know, make sure we have exposure to all the above that's interesting. So, you know, I think it provides a very, you know, unique and attractive risk return in terms of the fund of funds model as well.
And is that part of the, I call it the sell to your LPs as well, right? It's like, hey, like if you're a part of this, then you're going to get broader exposure across the rest as well. And then like, that's also part of the thesis.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's also, you know, certainly the access and expertise. I mean, we're as I alluded to earlier, there's 65 funds that we're tracking in this space. I mean, we know this space extremely well. And you know, we know the managers, we have very relationships with these folks, and, you know, we can both make sure that we have access to the best funds as well as determine who are those best funds, which, because they are largely emerging managers, is, you know, is a more difficult task than it might be if you're looking at all these brand name, you know, Sand Hill funds that have been around for 10, 20 years, and it's, you know, it's not the hardest thing in the world to figure out who's good at their jobs. So, you know, on the expertise side, you know, also, you know, if you don't understand what the funds are investing, it's very difficult to then assess those funds, because you're basically going to have to take them at their word for whatever they tell you if you don't actually understand what they're investing in. So, you know, having the expertise within this space to actually go through the portfolio, you know, make your own assessment of the underlying companies, what they're investing in, and also to, you know, use your own network, or, you know, our own network in this space to go out, do a lot of, you know, reference calls and, you know, really get behind, okay, you know, how does the market view this firm? How do they view the partners of this firm? You know, what's the reputation with entrepreneurs? You know, outside of just the, you know, reference list that the GP is going to give you, which is always going to be pretty positive because it's their, you know, friends and people who have agreed to be references for them. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of different pieces, but yeah, I mean, certainly the diversified offering in itself, I find very attractive in this space.
When you think about the exposure that Hut Capital has across the funds, is there like a limit that you're willing to invest in per blockchain fund, for example? Like, they, like, we will only do at maximum, I don't know, 10% of our fund in a single allocation, or do you have parameters on that you're able to share? Or is it just depends on the scenario?
I mean, it depends. You know, generally speaking, you know, we might allocate 6 to 12% of our fund to any single underlying fund. You know, our documents, of course, have you know, legal restrictions around kind of maximum exposure to single investments and stuff like that. But practically speaking, most are going to be 6 to 12% within that range. You know, there's always exceptions of different means, but that's kind of our target.
Got it. Very cool.
Yeah, and we're doing 10 to 12 funds from our own fund for context. So, you know, we're much more concentrated than a traditional fund of funds. You know, if you look like an average venture fund of funds, for example, you know, they might have, you know, 25, 30 underlying fund investments. We're doing 10 to 12. And, you know, it's really for two reasons. One, you know, given the space is a bit younger, you know, if you're going to do a bunch of managers above that, you just kind of end up getting exposed to the same companies over and over, and the diversification kind of becomes our fund. There are also a smaller number of funds that, you know, meet our very high bar from a diligence perspective, and, you know, we don't want to invest in more funds than we feel are warranted.
You know, I'd love to understand how your conversations have evolved with your LPs or your, you know, the LPs that you've been courting when you start talking about blockchain and cryptocurrency and so forth, right? I'm assuming like from when, I mean, you said 2018. So, you know, even from then to now, I'm assuming the appetite has changed slightly, but, you know, what are their thoughts when you say like, yeah, we're a fund of funds? I was like, okay, that's interesting, but like only for blockchain, you know, VCs. How has that response been? I'm assuming it's probably pretty mixed.
Yeah, and on the last part of that first, in terms of the fund of funds, I mean, the model itself has been pretty well received, and I think people, you know, value the expertise of a fund of funds in more niche areas, as I mentioned earlier. So, you know, I find that folks are more open to a fund of funds in this space than they might typically be, and more willing to consider it, which, you know, obviously is positive from our perspective. But yeah, the conversations are significantly different than a couple years ago. So, I mean, we got started in late 2018, which, you know, as you know well, was like right at the depth of the crypto bear market. So, you know, going out and trying to fundraise for a vehicle at that time, you know, after crypto markets had tanked 80% during the year, was not ideal timing, I guess. You know, there's a lot of difficult conversations. You know, I'd say two things. One, you know, the market opportunity has significantly increased in terms of the quality and quantity of opportunities since that time. You know, the mindset around kind of some of the short-term thinking you saw in 2017 as you had saw the ICO bubble has morphed significantly as well, where, you know, the people who are building in the space now are very long-term focused, like really trying to build sustainable companies, sustainable, you know, protocols, tokens, projects, whatever they are. So it's just a very, very different market than a couple of years ago, which is great to see. And, you know, the folks we talk to, I think, you know, are understanding that, and, you know, that makes my conversations much more fruitful. But, you know, it's also that they've just spent much more time on education over the past couple of years and spent those years learning and tracking the market and understanding what's going on. So, you know, relative to a couple of years ago, you know, when we go into a conversation, there's just a much higher, you know, level of education in, you know, in advance of that conversation, which of course, you know, makes our chat much easier. And we don't have to spend as much time on that, you know, why blockchain, what is Bitcoin, you know, all that kind of stuff as we had to a couple of years ago. So yeah, there's just much, you know, much more education, and, you know, the folks we're talking to are much more educated than they were even just 2 years ago.
Yeah. I'm curious if they're ever like, hey, like, can you find me a company like X or a company like Y, or is there anything like that or no?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like we actually do work with our, you know, our own limited partners, the investors in our fund, to find companies to invest in. And we actually do that ourselves within our fund, which we haven't really covered, but, you know, it's a smaller part of what we do, but we also help them to get access to, you know, the top, you know, growth stage companies. And, you know, we do it within our fund, but also help them to come in, you know, individually and do that. So, you know, some folks really value that. You know, they like that we have a look through into all these portfolios and all their portfolio companies, and, you know, pretty unique position from that standpoint in terms of all the non-public intel and data that we have, which, you know, then if they're investors in our fund, you know, they're privy to certain access to information as well. And, you know, they can get a look into what's going on. You know, so some definitely place a lot of value in that, and, you know, both in terms of our ability to do directs, but also their ability to get co-investment and, you know, us to help them with direct opportunities as well.
Yeah, totally. Well, you know, let's shift real quick to just what's happening in the world, and not necessarily what's happening, but more like, if we all know what's happening in the world with the pandemic, mm-hmm. and that sort of stuff. But how has that been impacting just not necessarily like your fund, but just investing overall? You know, I'm assuming you have a pretty good ear to the ground when it comes to like how investors or venture capitalists are writing checks to founders, and just curious, like, what have you seen or what you've been kind of paying attention to or listening to from either some of your connects or what you're understanding in the market?
Yeah, so we've actually been doing a webinar series over the past couple months where we've been interviewing blockchain VCs. So we've been having a lot of these conversations, you know, which are, I guess, available for others to check out, which you can do at hudcapital.com/webinars. But yeah, as part of that, we've been asking them what they're seeing in the current environment. You know, what are they seeing? You know, over the past 3 or 4 months, as you know, the world's changed quite a bit. And you know, while obviously we wish it was under better circumstances and just natural versus due to a lot of the chaos that's occurred recently. But tech transformation has quickened quite a bit. In terms of the ability, the willingness of people to consider like digital assets and digital money, due to a lot of the trends around COVID. And at the same time, you have the Fed printing quite a lot of money. And regardless of your view on Bitcoin and crypto and its ability to hedge a lot of that devaluation of the dollar, it's caused blockchain and Bitcoin and crypto to be more in the public conversation as a result, in terms of like, oh, how are we going to position our portfolio if this continues? Should we be looking at blockchain and crypto as part of that? And all of that has been very positive for this space. At the same time, because things have been a little slower, valuations have come down from pre-COVID times. So the opportunity set has been more attractive if you're a venture fund, if you're an investor from that perspective. So it's been, I guess, the opportunity from an investment standpoint, it's been generally very positive. So that's kind of what we've been hearing from the underlying funds.
That's great. That's great. How about, as a venture person, I'm assuming you also have understanding of what's going on in the overall financial markets. And, I talk to a lot of startup founders and they hear things from, their investors are like, oh, we're not investing when the market crashed in March, they're like, oh, we're not investing because the stock market's down, right? And then, so it's like, okay, I get that. And then the stock market has rallied since then. And like, well, we're not investing because things are uncertain. It's like, okay. So just curious, kind of just your thoughts overall with just what's happening in the market and how that particular influences decisions and, should it? And then we can even just talk about, I'm just curious to see your thoughts on the market overall after that as well.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm definitely not a macro investor, and I think if you are, it's a tough time because, it would appear that, the Fed is, the Fed's actions is driving price action in the market versus fundamentals. So, that seems like a difficult task for folks. So, I try not to make any grand forecasts around the broader macro environment, given what we do investing, in early stage startups and innovation. And I mean, frankly, nor do I think should you if you're investing in venture. Right? Venture isn't driven by cyclical action. It's driven by long-term innovation, and you need to be investing consistently across cycles if you're going to be successful. And you can't be trying to time the market if you're doing venture, right? It's just kind of not a very sound strategy. Sure. That said, it does impact valuation. It does impact pacing. The more uncertainty in the markets, whether prices are up or down, people don't like uncertainty. So, as long as there remains uncertainty, whether it's due to what's the Fed going to do, what's the economic impact if we have a second wave of COVID, for example, which we're kind of starting to see, all of that is not good for certainty. And, you could continue to see, slower activity as a result. I try to focus on the micro and kind of what we're seeing in this space, and leave the macro to smarter minds.
Sure. So, Brooke, you're based out of Portland. Curious how that has impacted just kind of the perception of what you're doing and just like overall, like do people care that you're in Portland as opposed to being like in or do they want you to be in Silicon Valley or, I don't know, New York City? Does it matter?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we get the question on occasion, but not very often, to be honest. And if you're doing early stage investing, I think the idea of being local is much more important than if you are a fund of funds or if you are doing later stage direct investing. I mean, as a fund of funds, with the ability to travel and do things online and through video conferences, I mean, you can kind of be anywhere and execute on a strategy like this. The biggest thing is just that it means you're going to travel a little more, right? Because you do need to be you know, on the ground in those locations where the funds are, taking meetings, you know, building those relationships and whatnot. But yeah, it really, you know, doesn't impact whatsoever our ability to execute. You know, the firms I worked at before this were in Philadelphia and Baltimore, and, you know, both very, very successful. And I think that's kind of indicative of, you know, the ability to do this from anywhere. And I think, honestly, there's a benefit to not being in the Bay Area or New York, because there's this kind of, you know, like, thought bubble, and, you know, everyone kind of starts thinking the same things. And, you know, I don't think there's as much independent, you know, like, real thought from that perspective, totally. You know, despite the insane amount of, you know, intelligence and innovation that occurs in those markets. Yeah. So I do think there's actually some value from kind of sitting outside and kind of viewing it from, you know, from somewhere else.
Perfect. Well, last question here is, what from your engagement with these different blockchain funds, and, you know, what you're seeing, what's interesting right now? Do you know, have you heard much of, like, what are interesting investments or verticals or kind of things that are being looked at right now?
Yeah, so there's definitely been a lot of attention recently to the DeFi space. A couple of token launches that have been, you know, very successful in terms of the value created from those, and it's, you know, driven a lot of attention to that space recently. But more broadly, I mean, most of the capital is going towards financial infrastructure. You know, if you think about the world of digital assets, you're basically building a whole new financial system from scratch. And, you know, you need a lot of the things that we have in our traditional financial system, and, like, you know, just very basic things like, you know, exchanges and custody and trading, and, you know, a lot of the institutional, you know, grade services and products that, you know, real institutions who are coming into the space, you know, need and require and are used to. And I mean, all of that is basically being built from scratch on a global basis. So, you know, it's a massive opportunity from that perspective. And you continue to see a lot of investment in that type of infrastructure. You know, I guess we've seen a little more recently in, you know, let's say non-financial areas. So we've seen more.
Yeah. All right, Brooke. Well, now for the question that I love to ask everybody who comes to my show, and that is, what is a question that you have that you would like to ask our audience, that they can think about as they go about their day?
That's a really good question. Let's see. So I guess one question, you know, as, you know, and this could be anyone, you know, who's thinking about their 401k to an institutional investor, you know, if we feel like everything is overvalued right now, you know, where do you, a tough question. And, you know, when I think people are thinking about a lot right now.
So unfortunately it cut out right when you were saying the question. So sorry, what's the question?
So the question is, you know, whether it's your 401k or if you're an institution investing a larger portfolio, you know, where can you feel comfortable investing your money right now where you think you're going to be very successful doing so over the next 5 years, let's say? Got it. You know, because if we feel like everything's overvalued, I think, you know, it's tough to figure out where you should be deploying capital right now from that perspective. And obviously,
it's startups. You got to put your money in startups.
Yeah, innovation is not cyclical, but, you know, if you think about the rest of your portfolio and, you know, a lot of the other stuff out there, I think that's something people need to be thinking about.
Definitely. Well, Brooke, thanks so much for joining us. What are some good ways that people can stay in touch with you or pay attention to what you're up to?
I mentioned we do have that webinar series that's currently active, which you can see on our website. You can follow, you know, me or Hut Capital on LinkedIn or as well as on Twitter. Hut Capital is at Hut Cap, and I am at BH Pollock. So we have our information on our website, so feel free to shoot me a line. And yeah, thanks so much for Jonathan for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Glad you're here. Everybody, thank you for listening to another episode of the TF Podcast. Please make sure that you are liked and subscribed. And you can follow us on YouTube as well as on LinkedIn. I'm at JG Product or at TF Labs. And you can also find out more about what we're up to at tflabs.io. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all soon.
Thank you.